All right, please stand, open your Bibles, so we prepare for Pastor Shibeli's message. We're going to read from 1 Peter 4:10, and then... First Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and the Word of God. And we're thankful that you are beautiful for all situations, and you are beautiful for the situation that we're in tonight. We just believe you, Lord, that your name is excellent in all the earth, and we are here, Lord, to receive from you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for ministries like the one in Zambia. Lord, we thank you for all that's happened in Serbia and in Hungary this weekend with Pastor Schaller. Continue to bless his time there. Lord, we just thank you for the weekend, Lord, we had with the ladies, Lord, for the things around Maryland, Silver Spring. Lord Jesus, Habit of Grace, all that you're doing in Baltimore. Lord, we thank you tonight for Pastor Shibeli and his message. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to anoint us to hear your heart toward us, Lord, to see you behind all the pages, all the sentences, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Quicken us, Lord, to receive from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Before I begin this message, Pastor Shala said they had an amazing time in Budapest, Hungary today. He said they had almost 700 people out, which is amazing. I don't know if that was a number of different services, but he said it was incredible. He sends his greetings. Greetings. Wave to him. Greetings. He'll see it, I'm sure, at some point. I can't let that go by without telling one elephant story. I mean, I have to. I was thinking about it. Then I saw an elephant there, and he says, not on 95. Actually, in that very same place, Livingstone, we were in a certain place. It's not like your typical zoo game park, but things run wild there, you know. And I had a slingshot. And with one eye and a slingshot, I didn't think I could, you know, like have any real effect on an elephant with a slingshot and one good eye. Well, I hit this elephant, and it wasn't the best deal. Because, you know, elephants are very tough, their skin, but somehow the target hurt. And he turned, and like they start to snort, and we got out of there quick, you know, because elephants can do some interesting damage to your vehicle, your body, and a few other things like that. And the thing is, about a year later, we went back to that place, and somebody told me they remember. And I saw this elephant, and I said, don't even go, not even up this road, because, you know, if it's true what we've always been told about elephants have great memories, then I don't want him having a memory of what took place 1 year ago. Now, don't write me an email tomorrow saying, why do you abuse animals? It was just having fun, and I'm thinking, like, you know, you cannot hurt them. They're like, you know, their skin is like that, but... you know, I just was playing around. I like slingshots. They have these amazing ones in Africa. They're like made from a tire. You pull them back, and you'd be surprised what you can do with them. It's really incredible. Yes, you can pick demons off in the air with a slingshot. So, anyway, that was my elephant story. We won't see one on 95. We were on our way to Burkina Faso, and one came right across the front of our car, and I was like, wow, you know, just like went right this way, like a shot out of the bush. And I thank God he didn't step on the car on his way over. So those are the elephant stories for the night. I'll tell more at the wrap, more interesting stories about giraffes and and different things like that, crocodiles and whatever. No, I'm just having fun. This is a great verse here. As we think about this morning's message, and I meditated and thought about it today, about the sufficiency of grace. 2:16 of 2 Corinthians, and who is our sufficiency? 3:5 of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, our sufficiency is of God. 9:8 of Corinthians, he has all sufficiency. Then when we come to chapter 12, which was the heart of the message, the thorn in the flesh, Satan, a messenger, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And because of this grace, Paul could say three things, if you remember what they were, in 2 Corinthians 12, 5 and 6, I glory in my infirmities. Verse 9, I'm glad in my infirmities, most gladly. Then he says, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Now, when you look at like infirmities, and you know, really it means no ability to perform outside of God. You look at them, and there's not many people that would say that I glory, I'm glad, and I take pleasure in these things. But Paul could say it because he was one who was receiving from the nature and character of God. We said in Genesis chapter 17 that God came to Abraham, the father of our faith, and he said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. I am your sufficiency. And you've been trying to make things happen into Egypt, out of Egypt, Hagar, this whole thing has been going on. Lying, that's my sister, when it's your wife, you know, and whatnot. And thank you. Aren't you glad that God can use the father of our faith, made mistakes, but was covered by God? Hello? Are you here tonight? Okay, just checking, okay? And it's amazing, his sufficiency from God. Then we use John chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. He himself, there was thousands of people that had to be fed. He himself knew what he would do. He knows what he will do. He is our sufficiency. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you to himself, who will also do it. Are you with me? Still with me. This is good. Okay. And then Romans 8:32, if he spared not his only son, will he not with him freely give us all things? And 2.5 million people were provided for in the wilderness. That's a lot of water and a lot of food. For 40 years, I was hoping that Pastor Adam was going to calculate that for me. I did it once, but I forgot, like based on how many quarts of water a day, 3 meals a day for 40 years for 2.5 million people. How many meals is that? You should have that answer by the time I'm done, okay? You got one of those pad things, you know, whatever they call them, and can do those kind of things. But then he would be distracted from the message, and I would be the reason why that happened, and that's not good. So our sufficiency is of God. And when we are looking for a sufficiency outside of God, something that will satisfy us, something that will provide for us, then we find ourselves getting really dried up in our Christianity because we're looking in the wrong direction for our sufficiency. And this is key, looking in another direction for our sufficiency rather than looking to God. So here it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, and Peter understood the importance of seeing God as his sufficiency. Remember what he said? Remember that statement he made? It sounded so amazing, wasn't it? Though everybody forsake you, not me, I'll go to prison with you and die. Weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth? I don't know the man. Weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth? This little girl, right? Little maid. Who? Jesus who? Right? I'm going to go to prison. I'll die with you. Self-sufficiency rather than sufficiency in God. And when I operate in self-sufficiency, and our whole lives we are taught that way and trained that way in school systems and whatnot and by the world system, you need to be self-sufficient, not rely on people. You got to make it in life, you know? And God is saying, no, I want to be your sufficiency. And this is key. And Peter understood that he didn't have it. And it, by the way, sometimes it takes coming to the end, like the Luke 15 prodigal son. He spent all that he had on
riotous living, and he was bankrupt. He was finished. He was in want. He was eating in a pig pen. And then he came to himself in verse 18 of Luke 15. Is there not bread enough to spare in my father's house? I'm going back. And so deriving our sufficiency from God, not from a religious system, not from other people. Thank God that people minister to us and God uses them. Don't take that the wrong way. But our sufficiency is not from myself, my own ability to perform, not from this world. We rely on so many things to make ourselves content and satisfied. And God says, I love you. I wish you would just come to me because I am your sufficiency. And this is key. So Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, as you have received the gift, even so minister as good stewards of the many-sided, manifold grace of God. Are you here tonight? You still here? Okay. I don't want to mentally lose you. Many-sided grace of God. Manifold grace of God. You know, this is amazing. This word in the Septuagint could also be found in Genesis 31, verses 8, 10, and 12. And also could be found in Genesis 37, 3. That Jacob made Joseph a coat of many colors. It's the word poikilos in the Septuagint. It's the very same word or a derivative of the word. And it was a coat of many colors, many pieces, and all the pieces had different colors. I think they used to wear them in the hippie days. Those kind of things. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, you know? We're going back into the 50s, right? Pastor Sturge knows. He was a hipster. Huh? You had those tie-dye shirts and those bell-bottom pants, right? You know, with all kinds of braids in his hair and everything. No, I don't think so. No, not you. Many colored, you know. I come home and my father would say to me, what is that that you have on? There's so many colors, nobody can figure it out. I just used to pretend I was one of those type of people to hide other things. Yeah, I had multi-personalities. Did you ever meet people with multi-personalities? Oh, yeah, they're around. We ran a counseling center for like 10 years, my brother and I, called the Lifehouse Christian Counseling Center. And from the center, we had a home. And we would meet some of the great, remember Don Sherry? Remember him? One day, he called me and said, you got to go to the house. He's lying in his bed naked. So I went there and I said, Don, what are you doing? He goes, I'm waiting on God. The Bible says, you know, to be spiritually naked, not like this. Get out of the bed right now. Put clothes on before I straitjacket you. No, we had some very interesting cases. And there's a few of them that are sitting here that actually made it. I'm not looking at you, Pastor Steve Murillo, at all. I wouldn't even think about that. No, you were not one of them. But many personalities, a person with multiple personalities. I've had a number of them come. Which one are you today? They come in for counseling. Like, who are you today? You know, oh yeah, that's it. That's great. That's great. And then you have to minister to them with wisdom of God. So many manifold, many-sided, poikilos, many-colored, many-sided. And we need this grace, grace on every side. Manifold grace. You know why we need manifold grace? Because 1 Peter 1:2 says we're going to have manifold trials. Oh boy, sorry to bring that Sunday night news to you. Manifold trials and tests. That means they're going to be so diverse, so different than the last ones. Then it says in 1 Peter 1:6, rejoice because of manifold temptations. How can you rejoice with manifold temptations? It says, greatly rejoice and rejoice. James 1, 2. Why? Because I have manifold grace in the test and in the trial. So maybe I've got this year a financial trial, and then God delivers, and then all of a sudden there's this kind of a test or a trial, and then there's something else. Every time I turn, it's something else. Have you ever noticed that? After a while, you get dizzy. You turn, you know, God delivers. Then you go, you think, oh, wow, I got delivered. And then you go this way and go, uh-oh. Many-sided. But with these many-sided trials and tests, we have manifold grace. And Ephesians 3:10 says, we have manifold wisdom. What else do I need in the middle of manifold grace, manifold tests and temptations, but manifold grace and manifold wisdom? Many-sided wisdom of God. Joseph had many different things go on in his life. I mean, he sold into slavery by his own brothers, betrayed by his own brothers. He is tempted by Potiphar's wife. He's put in prison. He's in Egypt where they worship all kinds of strange animals and multiplicity of gods. He's in there at 17 years old, but he's got a coat of many colors. And it's not just something worn on the outside. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. But it's something on the inside. Are you with me? Something on the inside. He has got manifold wisdom and manifold grace to handle all of these things that take place. And it was so incredible in his life that whenever there was a problem in Egypt, like a famine, they went to Joseph. It was said by Pharaoh, go to Joseph. He's got the answer. And here you are, maybe in the midst of a neighborhood or a job or a family situation, and there's going to be all kinds of things that go on in people's lives. And by the way, we have an answer for people. They've got this situation and that situation, a problem here. And by the way, the problems and the situations and the sins and the evil that is going on in this world today is really interesting. All kinds of strange things. I don't want to talk about too many of them because they'll come and like arrest you for something, like, you know, you're promoting something and I'm not, you know. I've heard that before. You better be very careful. You should be careful, Pastor Chevelli. Some of the things you say, you know, what could happen? Well, I've already been in prison 8 times. What's the big deal? Manifold prisons. Yeah, what are you going to do? Huh? Kill me, I go to heaven. I said that to a guy one time. He put a gun to my head and said, stop preaching. He hated Christianity and he was a drug addict. I said, look, you're pretty ignorant. I was shaking when this is going on. You know, I was like, you know, like sweating, armpits drenched. You know. And I said, can you imagine, sir, you're going to go to prison for sending me to heaven? He said, what? I said, you kill me, I'm going to heaven, and then you go to jail. I said, is this worth it? He goes, no. He says, tell me more about this Jesus. That was great. I had talked to him about Christ. We prayed. It was amazing. It was a little bit of manifold wisdom in the midst of what was a very scary situation. Happened one time in Florida on Avenue D. We were preaching and a guy came with a knife. You say, why? How do you always get into these things? I don't know. And he said, stop preaching. And then a guy I had been witnessing to in front of a package store who was a heroin addict stepped in front of the guy with the knife and said, leave the preacher alone or I'll kill you. He had a gun. And I thought to myself, wow, how God can deliver. This is amazing. This is incredible. What's going on here? I just stood back because, you know, the guy was like this with the knife about 8 feet away and threatening me, stop preaching. Like, no. I just stopped for a minute. But then that guy came right and said, you ain't touching the preacher. I said, wow, this is God. He's got, and by the way, there's many little things that happen, like falling off a bicycle and God delivers you because you fall on the grass. That's still a deliverance from God. Amen? Are you with me? Some of the things we eat and drink, we really need to be delivered with manifold wisdom and manifold grace. You say, what is that I just put in my mouth, you know? It's very interesting. So God says, I have got manifold wisdom and manifold grace for every test and trial that you would ever go through in your life. And we need it because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, it says, there are manifold lusts. And by the way, don't always equate the word lust with something that has to do with something sexual. Lust is a word that means what's on your mind. Epithumia, what's upon the mind. Is there such a thing as an anxiety lust? Thank you. Is there such a thing as a fear lust? Yes. Is there such a thing as a doubt lust? Yeah. But think of this. There's so many things that could be on the mind that could control my mind rather than thinking with God. insecurity lusts. They're everywhere. I mean, it's interesting. And it's something that epithumia. It's upon my mind, and I will not get delivered by God's word. And God says there's diverse lusts, but I've got for you manifold grace and manifold wisdom. One moment, they want to put you in a fire in Daniel 3. Then they want to throw you in the lion's den. I'm not going with lion stories, not till the wrap. Then they want to put you in the lion's den in chapter 6. You have the food test in chapter 1. Then you have the demons from hell coming at him with some of the most powerful demonic overseers of countries going at Daniel. It was so incredibly powerful. He was on his face for 21 days, praying and fasting. And then he got delivered. And God, I love how he got delivered. God said to him, Daniel chapter 10, verses 19 and 11, O man greatly loved. You are greatly loved. I'm going to deliver you, Daniel. So every single day I have an opportunity to receive manifold grace and manifold wisdom. That's why we have the Bible. See what this is? What is this called? It's a Bible. It's God's word. I can mix faith with it. I can receive wisdom from God's word right here. It isn't just I only get this when I come to church, but every day man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know what? Get off of all those technologically advanced things and put your faith in the book. That's Facebook. That's my Facebook. That hurt. Did I leave some metal in there or something? That was like strange. Okay, I'm doing good. I'm okay. Put my face in the book, God. Give me grace so I can put my face in the book and get something from God. Isn't it awesome? Something from God. You say, well, I don't have to read the Bible. I'm not a pastor, or I'm not an evangelist, or I don't work for the church. Really? I guess you never get tested. Satan could care less about you. He would never tempt you. He would never come against a Christian in a church that's sitting there in the pew. Oh, yes, he will. And I need manifold grace and manifold wisdom for every single test. Anybody ever had, don't raise your hand, ever had a relationship test? Marriage test? Physical test? Huh? Financial test. Who was that? Is that you or him? How about a health test? Huh? Hello? Anybody ever had a health test? Well, hello. Huh? Some of you young people are going, well, we don't even know what you're talking about. You'll find out. You'll find out. By the way, somebody gave me a big shoehorn today. This big, right? Right? It's this big. Like I got loafers. I don't know if it's like I can't tie them. I can tie my shoes, but loafers are better. My wife says she's going to get me a second pair, right? Is that true? Where are you? Okay, you're buying. And then she'll just take it from whatever. So I know I end up paying anyway. Doesn't matter. Manifold tests. Wow. I get these airplane tests, you know, you're flying an airplane. It's like the person sitting next to you, like, is a little bit like maybe double your size. And they're like leaning over in your seat, like they're like, literally you're like. And they're sound asleep, you know, and like, you don't even know. You just go stand up in the back. I just go stand in the back and say, you know what, this ain't happening. Could you change my seat? You know, or how about the baby test on airplanes? You're exhausted. And I thought I had a good seat. And I'm like, right, I got the baby test. There they are. There's like six of them. And they're moving around, and they come up, and they're, hey, hi, how are you? You know, they don't even know who you are, and they're grabbing your face. Mm-hmm. Hello? Yeah.
One time I was in an airplane and I got the upside down test. The plane went upside down over the Sudan. I'm like, this ain't supposed to be like this. You know, everything fell this way. And the pilot, like, made a mistake. I knew there was a problem with that pilot because before we flew, I noticed that we were still chained to the tarmac. And I said to the pilot, excuse me, because it was a small plane, about 5 passengers. I said, excuse me, would you look out the window? He goes, for what? I said, we're chained. He goes, oh. I'm like, they called it United Airlines. Pastor Eugene, are you here? You booked me on that flight. You remember? He goes right through us, electrical storm. I'm like, are you wacko? You don't go through when you go around. He goes, I thought you had faith. I said, in God, not you. Tests, trials, huh? Hello? Are you with me? Huh? And they're many-sided. And that's not to scare us or make us be afraid. And it says that there are many sided, but it says greatly rejoice, James 1, 2, and 1 Peter 1, 6. Great. How can I greatly rejoice? Because in the middle of them, God is going to give me manifold grace and manifold wisdom. Whatever's going on, David had all kinds of tests. He had the test of Saul trying to throw a javelin at him. Right? After he kills Goliath, and Saul should have been the one that stood up to Goliath, but he had a little bit of a problem with cowardice. Okay, he was a head taller than everybody else. Then he wants to kill David. Then David has all kinds of situations happen. They burn his city with fire. I mean, all kinds of things. He's got to live in caves. He's got to be in caves and be in all these places in the wilderness. He's on the run and he's anointed king. But he's got manifold grace and manifold wisdom for whatever happens. That means for the rest of your life, God will supply you with manifold grace and manifold wisdom. All you have to do is be a receiver. Are you listening? Mm-hmm. You know, I said to somebody a while ago that they had a problem. They didn't come to church as often as we were talking about, and they admitted it. They said, I don't come, and I need to come more. I said, can I tell you something? Let me give you an interesting insight into this. Every test and trial that you are going to have in Christianity in your life is going to happen whether you come to church or not. The trials are going to happen. And coming to church and reading your Bible is what gives you God's insight for victory in the trial. So when you don't come, you're going to get the trial, but you know what? You're not going to have any source of supply for the situation. They said, huh? I say, yeah. They said, but I thought God was the God of all grace. I said, yes, he is. You graciously are given a church. You graciously are given a Bible. That's the wisdom and the grace of God. And God said, here we go. Do you ever have any diverse tests in GGCA? Have you ever had like one thing that was a test or trial? None, huh? You're just covering the whole scene. I mean, I remember Christian school. I was a headmaster of a Christian school. Wow. 300 students. Mm-hmm. That was years ago. You know what? I had this one guy and he would F-bomb the teacher. So I took him one time. He was about 14 years old. I took him by the ear and I brought him into the closet. And it was one of those walk-in closets. I said, and this kid was given to me by his father because his father was in prison. So he said I could handle him. I said to him, Mark Anthony, I just gave him away. Somebody's coming out of this closet, and it's not you. No, it was just kind of a little bit of a threat. I know. You can't even look at a person strangely nowadays. You know what? That kid ended up going to Christian college. That kid became an awesome saint. He just needed a little bit the rubber meets the road. Oh, we're so passive nowadays. We don't want to ever say anything that might make him, he might cry when he sees your face like that. Oh, really? And I'm not advocating anything, but I'm saying it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. We would have so many situations that would happen, and yet God would give manifold grace and manifold wisdom for every situation. Why wouldn't he? Do I expect that from God? Do I think that I'm going to face something? No test. How about 1 Corinthians 10:13?
No test or temptation which is common to man. God has provided a way of escape that you can bear it. Hello? That you can bear it. What's the way of escape? I am the way, the truth, and the life. A way of escape. It's God Himself. So I don't fear trials. I don't fear tests. I don't fear opposition. I don't fear situations like that. Why? Because I know God's going to give me manifold grace and manifold wisdom. Even to the point of Acts 7 where Stephen gets dying grace. Amen? He sees Jesus at the right hand. You know, he doesn't see the stones coming. He sees Jesus. God will do that in our lives. Jesus Christ will do it. Joseph had a coat of many colors. Manifold. On every side. God says that every side. By the way, that means problems on the inside. Anybody ever had any of those? Flesh lust against the spirit. Spirit against the flesh. Yes. But God says, I'll take care of you on the inside by giving you the Holy Spirit and making you a new person. I'll take care of you on the outside because I have a purpose for your life and grace will supply your purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9. Purpose and grace, every side, on the inside, on the outside, below, above, wherever it's going on, wherever you live. Some people say, I could never move there. I could never go on the mission field. I couldn't do that. You know what? God doesn't give you the grace till you get there. We won't get there because we say, I couldn't. No, when you get there is when you receive the grace. When we went to Africa is when we received the grace to live in Africa. Are you with me? When you go to New Zealand, you'll get the grace to live in New Zealand. I'm not going there. I don't know who it is, but somebody might. Whatever that means. But we're, you know, I'm so provoked about, getting married. No, you'll get the grace when you get there. What do you want, beforehand? That's not Matthew chapter 6. It says you'll get what you need for the day. Amen? I'll get what I need for the day. Manifold grace, manifold wisdom, so that whatever is coming my way, I can go to God's word and I can say, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. You help me in this situation, because too often we think we know what we're doing. And there's the big problem. We rely on self and the flesh and people and advice and all kinds of things that might be from God and might not be from God. And we do not realize that God wants to give me manifold grace and manifold wisdom in the test and trial. So there's nothing. I don't have to fear tomorrow or today or seeing an elephant on 95. I don't have to fear it at all. I guess some people, I had some people... I love them. I feel every time a mosquito landed on them in Africa. By the way, it's the most feared thing in the world is a mosquito. Do you know that? Mosquito kills more people than you can imagine. Forget elephants. These little mosquitoes. One time I swallowed one. And I said, I'll take care of you, you idiot. And I just swallowed them. You know, it was much easier than letting them bite me. Mosquitoes. My wife would be like lying in bed. We'd be in Uganda. She'd be lying there and I could hear them in the room. She'd say, get up and kill them. I'm like, the room is dark. I don't know. I mean, she goes, so I would pretend I actually hit them and killed them. Wow, got him. I come back in bed. She'd go, liar. Get out again, you know? And I would be like, when I found that mosquito, I hammered him. I hit him with a baseball bat so many times that there was nothing left. But there was manifold mosquitoes. So I got manifold grace and manifold wisdom from God. Amen? Let's be receivers. Yes, there's going to be tests and trials. There's going to be temptations. Manifold types. 1 Peter 1:6, James 1:2. But I have a promise from God. Manifold grace and manifold wisdom in every situation. Amen? Father, thank you tonight. We all have a coat of many colors. Yes. On the outside and on the inside. We're going to
we're gonna pray for the sick after we give an invitation. So we'll go right into that. So the pastors could come up and get ready. We're gonna anoint you with oil and pray for you. If you desire to be prayed for, you can come up in front. I pray that the pastors would come up right now, Pastor Eugene, Pastor Sturge, all of you that are here, and just get those bottles of oil from Pastor Steve. And we want to pray for people tonight. So let's bow our heads for a moment, and then we'll have the... Is the music team still here? Okay, you're coming. Okay. You didn't leave us. Amen. Okay, Father, we pray tonight. Manifold grace, manifold wisdom. If you are here tonight, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're watching on the internet, say, Jesus, save me. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us, training us, for all people. Say yes to Jesus tonight. It's simply yes. Yes to God. Yes to the work of the cross. Yes to the blood. Yes to mercy. Yes to forgiveness. Yes to life. Yes to the Holy Spirit. Yes. Say yes to God. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, just, God, save me tonight. Put your hand up. God, save me. On the internet, acknowledge it. Any way that you are led to, acknowledge it. Jesus, save me. We thank you tonight. Father, bless our time tonight as they come to sing up here. And you can stand with us and begin to come forward. People are going to be here to anoint you with oil, pray for you. And I'm not talking about just physical illness. Sometimes anxiety, fears, just things that are going on in my life, in your life, that God wants to just give us a touch from heaven. So you can trust him tonight. Thank you, God. Just let's stand together. Let's be praying while we're sitting there, standing there. Let's be praying for people as they come forward. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Just come and be prayed for. Come and be prayed for.